everyone. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Lid Radio Podcasts. I am your host for today, Francesca. We have a very special guest with us today, Kirsty Bashforth. Welcome, Kirsty.
Hi, thank you.
Kirsty Bashforth is the founder and CEO of Key5, a consultancy offering practical strategies to align organisational culture with purpose. She is also the non-executive director of Kier Group, Serco and Diaverum. She has an economics degree from Cambridge University and has spent more than 20 years working at BP. She is also the author of Culture Shift, which was published by Bloomsbury last week. The book is a practical guide to managing organisational culture. Too often, businesses see culture change as a project with a defined endpoint. Once the project is considered done, the dominant culture re-emerges and things go back to how they were. Culture Shift guides organisations on how to do things differently, ensuring that culture really does shift with minimal budget and no external consultants, and putting culture permanently at the core of running the business. So Kirsty, welcome. What was your inspiration to write Culture Shift?
Well, I spent a long time, nearly 20 years, running businesses, observing the work, and probably nearly 10 years now leading the sort of work. And it's become my business, and I wanted to get my thoughts down, but I'd never ever written a book before. Lots of people kept telling me, you must write a book. So you say, well, how do you do that? And I knew I'd done it differently from the sort of conventional wisdom of how this work is done. And I knew from experience that culture does matter as a core part of business. So when the opportunity arose, and I bumped into the right person, I made it my business to spend time getting it all down and getting the book written.
That's amazing. So you begin the book with a well-known maxim, culture eats strategy for breakfast. Do you think this is true given the current work sphere? And if not, do you think many organisations continue to stress this motto even if they're not practising it?
I think it's very true that culture can bring a strategy down if you have a toxic culture or a wrong culture. But I see culture and strategy as partners, like fuel and an engine. You know, if you put diesel in a petrol engine, the engine won't work. But typically, to get the engine to work effectively, you need just the right fuel and it takes tweaking. So it's about alignment. They're partners, I see them as.
Sure.
You know, if you have a strategy that is all about changing the market, disrupting a market, you need a culture, the way people work and behave, to help that disruption. If your business then needs stability, having a culture that's all about disruption is not going to work well.
Of course.
So to me, they have to be partners. It's all about alignment, not about one being better than the other.
Sure. No, that makes sense.
And the second part about why is culture so difficult to shift? Why do people struggle with it? I think it's because culture is the summation of assumptions, habits, behaviours, people at work. And that feels hard to shift. So some people resort to, well, I just want to tell people how to behave and then we're done.
Yep.
So they don't tackle the topic of culture for that reason. Some people don't believe it's fundamental to business and haven't put the two together. And some people think it's still a bit of an enigma and a bit fluffy and not precise, so I sort of don't understand it, so I hope I don't have to deal with it. And I think of it a bit like house maintenance. quite often we put house maintenance off until a large crack appears in the wall, and then we have to deal with it, otherwise the whole house is going to fall down.
Yeah.
It'd be much better if we dealt with it all the way along, but often it comes through it when the big crack appears.
Sure, sweeping it under the rug until there's a problem. Yep. So from your experience, how can leaders effectively diagnose and reflect on current culture and then actually make the change needed?
Well, diagnosing it, one of the biggest challenges I find is that for many of us as leaders, we fail to recognise that we cast the longest shadow in any culture. I had a boss once who said to me, you know, what interests me fascinates my team. And that's very true. You do cast the longest shadow. So the first thing is a leader willing to look in the mirror and recognise that? Because if they're not, you can't get started. The second thing around diagnosis is you have to have a 360-degree view. You have to look outside, inside, at all levels of the organisation, the words you're expecting, all bits of data you can find to create a whole picture not just the words on the wall. And then I think you have to recognise, well, what strategy do you want? As I said already, it's about alignment. So what strategy do you need to deliver your business? And therefore, what sort of culture do you need?
Yeah.
You put together what you want with what you've got, and you work out the gap. And I would say to define the culture you need, there's no better shorthand than a set of values that are going to mean something and that all colleagues can work from. Then doing the change is really the hard part.
Yeah.
The whole book talks about how to do the change, so I won't try and summarise that here, but the first couple of things you need is you need the right person. And that person needs to work as an air traffic controller or a conductor. They are not changing the culture.
Yeah.
Everybody is changing the culture, but somebody needs to coordinate. You need a top team who's clear on what they're doing and why they're doing it and why it matters and are committed. And then there's a recipe of things. You've got to do a whole mixture of messaging, practicing, processes and decision making. And you've got to do it on repeat over time because you're trying to create new habits. This is not about a crash diet. This is about changing the way you eat, if you want an analogy, and changing your habits of the way you eat for good, not doing a crash diet for 6 days and then the pounds pile back on.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very relatable analogy. So you open the book, in the introduction, there's a quote from John Collinson. So it says, "Culture is what happens when the CEO isn't in the room." And I've heard that quite a lot. Do you agree with that statement? How do you think culture goes beyond being a nice, fun place to work? And actually becomes the heart of a strategy where the CEO can get involved?
So it is, you do see the culture when the CEO is not in the room, you see the real culture. However, you also see the culture when the CEO is in the room, because as I said, they cast the longer shadow.
Sure.
But people use that phrase to illustrate it's not just the orders given by a CEO, it's how people really practice and behave every day. And as I've said also, you know, the CEO casts the longest shadow. They create the biggest aura around culture. So it's everything they do is amplified. So it's when they're not in the room, but it's also when they're in the room. It is definitely more than fun at work.
Mm-hmm.
Of course you want an engaged workforce, but you want that engaged workforce to focus on what the organisation needs to achieve. You know, the culture is the sum of everybody's expectations, habits, assumptions, perceptions, and it turns up as behaviours and decision-making. So it's mood does matter, but that's not everything. It's not just about mood. It's only one element. You could end up, if you just were focusing on fun at work, as a set of very happy people who are very active and loving where they work and what they do,
yeah,
but that it's not aligned up with the strategy at all, and in the end you just have Brownian motion. You have a lot of people running around being very busy and very active, but you're not delivering your business. So I come back to, again, it's about alignment, not just about happy people.
Yeah, of course.
And sometimes people can be quite quite down or quite dour, but they're engaged and they know what they're doing. So mood is part of it, but it's absolutely not all of it.
Sure. I think that's quite a common misconception that mood is everything and having happy people creates the culture, but obviously there's a lot more to do.
It creates a culture,
yeah,
but it might be the one that you need.
Exactly. Okay, brilliant. I mean, in your experience, what are some of the biggest obstacles for bringing about a culture shift? I'm sure you talk about this in the book, but...
Yes, and there are numbers of them. So I've mentioned this already. As leaders, it's hard to see that we are often the challenge.
Yeah.
We may be espousing the perfect culture, but nobody's challenging us to say, but by the way, you're not actually living it out and you're setting the wrong tone. So, you know, as I said, everything the most important leader does is amplified. So that can be an obstacle if they won't or if we won't look in the mirror. The second one I said at the start, it's hard work shifting a culture. To do it proactively when there isn't a crisis, it feels tough because it isn't always precise. Again, a bit like house maintenance.
Yeah.
So often you only get jolted into it when there's such a crisis. You've got to look at every avenue of why performance is not as it is, and therefore your culture might be an aspect. A third big obstacle is that, and you said it right in the introduction, declaring victory too early.
Yeah.
okay, I've put my values up on the wall, people are espousing them, they've stuck them in their email signature, and we've updated our website. We're done. No, we're not. So declaring victory too early is a real obstacle. And a fourth one would be, and I say it in the book, retrospective redefinition. So what I mean by that is, let's say you've got a tough business decision to make, and we go back to the values, and people go, well, I didn't really mean it quite like that when it comes to it. And so everybody goes, well, it's got a bit tough, and I love that value, but actually if it's going to stop us doing a piece of business, then we didn't really mean that. So what they're really saying is that not the culture they're really going to stand behind. So that's a real obstacle when things get tough. And you know it matters when people do make tough decisions and they do use the values and they have to choose not to do a piece of business. So there's a number of obstacles, but those would be four big ones.
Sure. Okay, brilliant. I mean, we've kind of gone over it, but the biggest takeaways from the book, if a reader was thinking about reading, what would you say they are for them?
And in section five, so buy the book, everybody. In section five, I actually write book on a page. So there's about 10 bullets for the people with a short attention span, which includes me, yeah. The tweeted amongst us. So a few things to think about, though. Really think about who leads the work and from where in the organisation do they lead it. Too often people say, let's just give it to HR. But this is, I'm not saying anything against HR, but just because it's about people doesn't mean it's about HR. So who leads it from where is a big thing to think about. Get clear on the problem you're trying to solve. Is the problem your strategy, your culture, how you're acting out your culture? Do you even know what your culture is? So don't dive into the problem. Really work out what your problem is. It will take longer than you think it should or will or does because you're creating new habits. I would say about 3 business cycles for it to be properly new habits. So again, don't declare victory too early. And 2 final things. One, it isn't separate to business culture work. It is business. People run businesses. People may be the ones who write the algorithms, but the algorithm won't write itself, or maybe it will eventually. But at the moment, people run businesses, so the culture of those people matters in the business performance. And so the final thing I would say is always treat culture as a partner to strategy. Every business will look at its strategy periodically and reset it. It'll have a strategy review every year. Why don't we do the same with culture? Because to deliver a strategy, it's how people behave and make decisions that deliver that. And that is what culture is all about.
Wow, brilliant. Thank you so much, Kirsty, for joining us today. And also thank you, everyone, for listening. It's been really lovely talking to you. So don't forget to keep an eye on our social media at Lib Publishing on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. And for more information about new books, experts' opinions and, of course, more podcasts with thought leaders like Kirsty. We'll see you next time on Lib Radio Podcast.